Amen. I tell you, it's a blessing to have Brother Wheeler and his wife with us this weekend, and it's good to thank you for that special. And I'm just going to ask you to come up and preach, Brother Wheeler.
All right.
If you want to share some things about the ministry, you're welcome to do
that. All right. Well, let me find the thing here. Got the right button. Have to see it to be able to turn it on. Amen. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And we have had the privilege of being able to work with a ministry called Light in the 1040 Window since 2005. We've also had the privilege of being able to see between 8 and 10,000 people come to the Lord during that time in the country of India. We now have 4 children's homes and 4 Bible colleges there in India that we work with. And God is blessing abundantly. How many know that God blesses if we're faithful to Him? Amen? Well, part of you know that anyway. But God does bless us if we remain faithful to Him. I mean, ask Brother Moser over there. I mean, he can tell you that God remains faithful to us, amen, if we remain faithful to Him. And sometimes people will ask me, well, why in the world? I turned 72, and Brother Moser, that's still a young man, amen. But why in the world at your age are you still running around doing the work that you're doing all over the world? You know, God gives us a calling, each one of us, and God never, ever, ever, ever removes that calling or repents of that calling. Amen? So if God has called you and you've tried to get away from Him, He will not ever repent of that calling, and He will forever want you to fulfill that calling that He has on your life. People will say to me, well, how do you know that people get saved in India? And I have to say, well, how do I know that you're saved? I don't have a clue. But I know somebody that does. Amen? And I know that He is faithful, and I know that He will take care of us when we give our hearts totally and absolutely to Him. Give you an example of some of the things that we've seen in India. We had a young lady in Takanata that had come forward to be saved. And she said, she came to us for prayer, and she said, I want you to pray for me, because my husband, who was a Hindu, 85% of the people in that country are Hindu. She came to us and asked that we pray for her, because her husband said, if I get saved, my husband said that he will kill me. Now, she came forward and was saved, then came back, and they were going to have baptism service 2 days later. One of the things that happened in India, the priests there, the Hindu priests, do not care if a person gets saved in India. They just figured that what they're doing is just adding our God to the many gods that they serve. But when they come forward to be baptized, now that's a totally, absolutely different thing. Because in India, when they get baptized, they are given a Christian name. And from that point on in their life, everybody knows that they're saved because they receive that Christian name. Everything that they do is done in that Christian name. So again, Roger Swari came forward to be saved. And then she wanted to be baptized. And when they're baptized, they're given a Christian name. And she said, most definitely, if I get baptized, my husband will definitely kill me. Well, 2 days later, We were having baptismal services for about 60 people that had come forward. And guess who was first in line? Miss Roger Suarez. She was first in line to be baptized. I had the privilege of giving her the name of Esther. How many know what happened with Esther? How many can remember? Esther was given the ultimatum of going before the king, and she was taking a chance on her life being taken from her by going before the king. And she simply made this statement, "What will be, will be." She was willing to take that chance. And so she went to the king. Same way with Roger Suarez. Now, Roger Suarez, rather, we got to call her Esther now because her name is Esther. And she asked that we pray for her husband. And about a year and a half went by. And one Sunday morning, I was getting ready for a meeting, and the pastor's son called me from India. That would have been Saturday night there, 12 hours difference, so it would have been Saturday night there, Sunday morning here, and said, "We just left Esther's home, and her husband just got saved. After a year and a half." Now, don't tell me that God's word does not take effect in people's lives. There, and the way that you live your life makes a difference in what people see in you. Amen? And sometimes the only word that people see is what is in you and the way that you live your life and your faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. So do pray for our ministry. We have 182 children that we feed, clothe, house, and school. And on our display, there is a little receptacle that asks that you give monies for that. It cost us about $2,200 a month to feed, clothe, house, and school those kids. Otherwise, if they were out, most of the people that we deal with make a dollar and a quarter a day. Wouldn't that be great to make a dollar and a quarter a day? Man, life. But anyway, everybody lives together. Everybody pools the money, and so they're able to at least exist. You know, have rice to eat and stuff like that. But those children, if they were not under our care, they would never be able to go to school. They would never be able to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior because they would never hear the word. So do pray for our ministry as we try to minister to those kids. We go to India usually in February, stay a month. It can rain 10 inches a day for a solid month. And everything's underwater, and so when you go into the airport, nothing moving, so you just, you know, can't do anything. So we try to go in January or February. And anyway, do pray for us. Now, I have a sermon for us this morning. I want you all to relax because I will be through, I promise, by 1:30. Amen? Amen? I mean, where are we going? We're going over there to eat. So what difference does it make? Amen? No, it won't be 1:30. I hope. Anyway, I would ask that you stand for the reading of God's Word this morning, and we're going to go to Numbers, the 14th chapter, and we're going to just read a very short passage of Scripture in Numbers 14 and verse 24. The Bible says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Father, We ask that your Holy Spirit will be ever so present in this building this morning, and that as your word goes forth, Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit will penetrate hearts, and that, Father, especially if there's one here that does not know you as personal Savior, that person will be thoroughly convinced and give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And we praise you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God is saying to Caleb in this passage of Scripture, actually, he's bestowing a very special saying to Caleb, really commending him, actually, because it says, "But for my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit about me and hath followed me fully." If we go back in Scripture just a couple of chapters before that, we find that God had given a commandment to a group of men, 12 men that had given the commandment to go out and spy out the land. And of those 12 men that came back, 10 of those men, we find in reading the passage, God is bestowing on Caleb that very thing. Caleb waited 40 years before that promise ever took. In fact, he waited 45 years before that promise ever was fulfilled. Sometimes we get in a hurry when God gives us a promise and he wants us to do a certain thing. We want to go the next day, don't we? We live in an instant world today. We walk, we go to McDonald's, we make an order, we drive up to the window, and instantly we get what we ordered. Amen? Sometimes God gives us an order, what he wants us to do, but sometimes we have to wait and allow God's Spirit to work in us and allow his presence to give us and the ability to fulfill that which he wants us to do for him. Sometimes we have to grow to a point that we're ready to be able to do that which he calls us to do. Amen? Now, it says that he had another spirit about him, and that spirit was the Holy Spirit of God, realizing that he served a big God. Now, there was a Sunday school teacher that was teaching a group of young men about 10 years old. And she asked this question of these boys and said, wanted them to answer this question. And she just simply said, "How big is God?" And all the boys, they were very reluctant to raise their hand. But there was always one little boy by the name of Johnny, and Johnny always had his hand up. I mean, it didn't matter what was asked, he was willing to give an answer. Now, it wasn't always right. So she was kind of reluctant to call on him. Johnny was a little slower than the others. And so she called on a couple of different ones, and they gave her different answers, and finally Johnny, he just kept on. So finally she said, "Okay, Johnny, how big is God?" He said, "God is so big, he does not have to go anywhere because he's already there." Well, let me say that again. God is so big, he does not have to go anywhere because he's already there. Now, Johnny was not I think he had it right on the money then, don't you think? And God proves that to us in the Scriptures. If you go to Psalm 139, you'll find out that the Bible says that no matter how low we go, no matter how far in the heavens we go, God is always, always, always there. You and I have to realize this morning that by faith, you see, Caleb went out on that journey on spying out the land. He went out by faith. Amen? And he saw the things that God said that he would see, but God had reminded him that he would take care of him no matter what. Caleb recognized that fact and recognized that he served a big God, but he did that strictly by faith in God. Amen? And you and I have the same privilege this morning that we can come to an Almighty God and accept Him through faith or through grace by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And you and I have the privilege of being able to do that and accept Him as our personal Savior. Not only was Caleb, did Caleb have a different spirit, the Holy Spirit of God in him, but it says that he followed him fully. In other words, he was faithful. Not only did he have faith, but he was faithful to what God wanted him to do. And that's why 45 years later, if we go and look in the book of Joshua, Joshua comes to the Lord and comes to before the people, and he said, Lord, I am just as strong now 45 years later as I was when I was 45 years old. How many would like to be just as strong at 85 as you were at 40? Wouldn't that be great? But we find out we can't. But in that passage of Scripture, I truly believe that Caleb was just as strong. And you know why he was? Because he was faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and did all that he wanted him to do. Now, you have to think about this for a minute. He wandered in the desert for 40 years, round and around and around that mountain. You had to know, man, that had to be a very weary time for him, because here he was, all these people had refused to do what God had asked him to do, and yet they were going round and round and round. And Caleb had to have, now he may not have ever expressed that, the Word of God doesn't say anything about him, but probably in his mind he was saying, you dumb bunch of people. I mean, this has got to be crazy, you know, that here we are. And he had to put up with a whole lot because he knew that these people didn't have a whole lot. But you know what? God was faithful to him. Because, not because of him, but because of his faith in God and his faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I sometimes fail the Lord because when these church doors are open, we find other things to do other than where we should be in the house of the Lord. Amen? And you and I need to realize that God will only honor those who are faithful to Him. You see, we have the privilege of serving not only an Almighty God and a big God, but we have the privilege of serving a God that is also a very compassionate God. You know, we could sit here at home. The Bible says to go ye therefore into all of the world. And we could sit here at home and we could refuse to go to those foreign lands and to preach and teach the gospel to those Lord Jesus, to those people in those foreign lands. But you know what? God gives us a commandment to go. Now, you may be here this morning, you may not be able to go. But you know what? One thing you can do is send somebody that can. Amen? Be faithful in your giving to missions and be faithful in supporting them in whatever way you can. When that missionary comes into the church, make sure that you fully thank that person for the work that he's doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking with a missionary not long ago. He had been in the country of Turkey. And he was in that country for 10 years. For 10 years. Did not have one convert in 10 years. Not a one. And you think, well, man, he was a total waste. I mean, he was just, no, he was not. He was where God wanted him to be. Finally, the Turkish government would not renew his visa again. But during the time that he was in Turkey, not only did he learned the Turkish language and translated the Turkish language into a Bible in that 10 years. See, he was busy doing what he could do. You remember when Moses came before the Lord and he was saying to God, I have nothing. I don't have anything. And God said, what's that in your hand? He says, it's a rod. And he said, throw it down. You see, God wants us to relinquish what we have to him. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter the value of it. Doesn't matter if it means that it's not worth a hill of beans or anything. But God wants that which we have. Amen. It may be the talent that you have. And I think about this sometimes. It's definitely not our good looks. Amen. Because I'm looking out here now. The ladies look pretty good. But some of you guys, man, I'm telling you. Whoa! I mean, that's a little rough. Amen. So it's not our good looks. Amen. But it is our talent. It is our bodies. It is giving to God what he wants of us. And see, he has a certain thing that he has for us to do. I've had the privilege of seeing a lot of people saved, and all for the glory of God, because I know it's not me. But when we remain faithful, you see, in Galatians, the second chapter, it says Galatians 2:20, and probably every one of us can remember this passage of Scripture. In fact, a lot of us have probably sang this passage of Scripture, because it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But there's an interesting passage in this, because it says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God. Not my faith, but his faith. And when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ and he comes into our heart and our lives, we live our lives not by the faith that we can manifest up within us, but by the faith of the Son of God. And sometimes we read this passage of Scripture that we say, which I live by faith in the flesh, I live by faith. No, it's by the faith of the Son of God. Sometimes we overlook that word, the, and realize, and when we get to a point and we realize that God himself dwells in us and we can do the work that he wants us to do by his faith. You see, sometimes the Bible says that it gives us a measure of faith, and sometimes we pray, Oh God, give me more faith. Well, how much more faith then can we get than the faith of the Son of God? And when God wants us to do something for Him and allows His Holy Spirit to work in us in such a way that we're willing to go, then we go by His faith. And we realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is working in our heart and our lives. You see, sometimes we forget that it's Him that's doing the work. Amen? And when I go and see, I remember preaching one time there in India, and I thought, oh my, oh, I'm struggling. I just, you know, this is just not going good well. You know how it is sometimes. I mean, you just think, man, my words are just going right over their heads, kind of like a screen door in a submarine, you know. And we just don't think anything is happening. I was preaching out of, it was interesting this morning, because I was preaching out of Daniel, and in Second Chronicles, David had raised all the monies that he needed to raise for the for the tabernacle. And he was talking to those people at that point. And we'll just turn back there if I find it. Second Chronicles 20, I believe it ought to be about the 28th, maybe the 29th chapter. In fact, Brother Corey had mentioned this passage of Scripture. You see, it says that David had, the fifth verse. And Brother Corey had gone over this passage of Scripture, and it says that they had given gold for the gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artifactors, whatever that says. And then David asked this question. In this passage of Scripture, I was preaching there to several thousand people, and I made mention of, and I read this passage of Scripture, and it says, "And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" Who is willing to consecrate? That means give himself fully to the work of God this day. And before I could even get that reading through that passage Scripture, people came, they started coming, and they literally filled the entire front of that auditorium. Thousands of people. You know why that was? Because number one, they were listening to what was being read and what was being said. Number two, just like in this passage of Scripture, it says that they offered willingly. And then down here in the ninth verse, it says, "Then the people rejoiced because they offered willingly, and because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy." Now, let me put this before you this morning. You and I, number one, we need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, accept Him as personal Savior. If you're here this morning, I was in a church in Mississippi, and this pastor is evangelistic. I mean, he baptizes 280 people a year in his church. And I asked him this question. And a lot of people have asked him the same thing. Why do you just keep hammering away for people to get saved? And he said, "You know what my greatest fear is?" He says, "My greatest fear is that the rapture take place and next Sunday a bunch of people show up to go to church at my church, and they missed the rapture because they weren't saved. Folks, God wants us to be ready. In other words, He wants us to accept Him as personal Savior. But if we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then I'll just put this challenge to you. How many of you are willing this morning, this day, this very day, to consecrate, give yourself fully to the Lord Jesus Christ? Ask Him, Lord, what would You have me to do? What would You have me to do? Now look out when you say that, because God is going to answer. Amen? But then we have to make sure that we have that perfect heart before Him. You see, David was a man that God said was a man after His own heart. But David wasn't a perfect man. Amen? And David, in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, David made this statement. He said, "Search my heart, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me." And you say, me? I have to say, because the Bible says in Jeremiah, the Bible says that our heart is deceitful above all things and full of joy. No, it says, and desperately wicked. Amen? And you say, my heart? I have to say my heart. Sometimes I know that my life is not where it wants to be. And you know what I have to do? I have to come to Him. And I have to get on my knees before Him. And I have to ask Him, Lord, one more time, cleanse my heart. Then you know what happens? He cleanses the heart. You see, David knew that because he's in Psalms 51, verse 10, David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." And then he goes a little farther than that because then he says, "And renew a right spirit within me." In other words, give me an attitude adjustment. Amen? Some of us need a quick kick in the seat of the rear. Amen. But that's not what he says. It says, give me an attitude adjustment. You know what? I serve a God this morning that is willing and able to do that very thing. Take all of that old stuff out of there and you make it all. Now, he said that in Isaiah, he says that he will give us a new heart, a clean heart. And you and I this morning, you may say, well, I'm all right. But are you really? I just want you to examine yourself this morning. But first of all, if there's someone here that has never, ever asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and ask Him to be the Lord of your life, I'm pleading with you. Make sure that your heart is right before Him, and make sure that everything in your life is all that it can be for Him. Amen? Father, how we love You. Father, we just ask that Your Holy Spirit will penetrate hearts, and that, Father God, especially if there's someone here that does not know You, Father, we just ask that by Your Spirit that You draw them to You, because we know no other way will they be able to come except You draw. And we just ask that Your Holy Spirit will penetrate those hearts, make them realize that they need you in a desperate way, because we know that our country is going downhill fast, and we know that your soon coming is close by, Father. We just ask that they are willing to come, willing to give their heart to you. But then there may be others that just need to come and need to ask for your forgiveness. And Father, we thank you. We praise you for it in the almighty name of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for it.